been praying about, trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I know I preached from that text this morning and last Sunday morning, but couldn't get it off my heart and feel like I need to go back tonight and preach a different message from this chapter here. And I want to look at just one verse of Scripture. We looked at verse 23 this morning. And so by the help of the Lord, I want to look at verse number 24 tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 24. If you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer. And I know that you know the Scriptures tonight, the story. So we'll not take time to labor that thought. But I do pray. We had a number of people here this morning that was lost, a number of people that raised their hands, but you never know who and why and what God is wanting to speak to, and so I pray for God's will to be done again tonight. Luke chapter 16, and notice verse number 24. The Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Father, I pray in Jesus' name tonight, God, that you would give us wisdom and liberty. I want to be obedient to you tonight. I thank you for every testimony that's been given, for the good worship and the songs that have been sung. I pray now, Lord, you'd bless the reading of thy word. I pray if there's anybody here lost under the sound of our voice, God, that tonight they would come and accept Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray for us that are saved tonight that you'd give us a fresh burden, as it's already been mentioned, about the passing out of tracts and the giving out of the gospel. Lord, give us a burden for souls, not just to go out, but help us to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, that we might doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us tonight. I pray now that you'll bless the reading of thy word. Have your will in your way. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Just a simple message tonight, a very short message that the Lord has laid upon our heart. But I preached this morning on this subject, on what the rich man saw in hell, what he saw in hell. And he saw Abraham. He saw a faithful patriarch. He saw Lazarus, a familiar person. And then he saw a fascinating paradise as he was in Abraham's bosom. But when we come to verse number 24, I want you to notice here, the Bible says in verse 24, and he cried and he said, amen, and he cried and he said. And if you look with me again in verse number 27, the Bible said, then he said. Notice again in verse number 30, and he said. I want you to notice tonight what the rich man said in hell. I preached this morning on what the rich man saw in hell. And tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on what the rich man said in hell. Because when Jesus gave this story here, I believe every part of this story is both literal and I believe it's important. Amen. It's important, number one, because it's in the Bible. It's important, number two, because it is the words of Christ. Amen. But then I would say this morning or this evening that this message is important because here we have a dialogue. We have a testimony of a man that went to hell without God. Here's a man that is lost and that does not know Jesus, and he dies and he goes to hell. What he sees in hell is something that ought to get our attention. But then what this man says when he's in hell ought to get our attention. And I want us to look at three things or three times in this text here that we find this man speaking in hell. Now I mentioned again he is speaking to Father Abraham, as the Bible mentions that. Abraham communicates back and forth with him. But notice what he says in this text. What the rich man said when he was in hell. I want us to look at the first statement tonight. I would say that his first statement was comfort for his body. Well, this first statement that he makes has to do with comfort for his body. The Bible said in verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now think about this. Here's a man that's crying out to God, and he's crying out for comfort. He's crying out for something for his body. He does not cry out for anything for his soul. Isn't that interesting? Here's a man whose body is in the grave, and he has some other kind of body that is the second death, and he's got this body here
as he's in hell, he lifts up his eyes. He cries out for Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. We don't know what kind of body this man has while he's in hell, but he's asking for comfort for his body, but he's not asking for comfort for his soul. Now, that's interesting for this reason tonight. When people die without God, they never repent. If you don't repent in this life, they will not repent in the next life. This man calls for water. This man asks for a witness. But this man never turns to God. Amen. I noticed the mistake in his statement. As the Bible said in verse 24, notice this. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham. Now every request that the rich man had, he cried out to Father Abraham. He saw Abraham. He saw Lazarus. But I'll tell you who he didn't see. He did not see Jesus. He did not see God. He did not cry out to God. I said it this morning. I want to say it again tonight. That hell is a Christless eternity. If you die without God and go to hell, listen, no one will ever give you a gospel tract. No one will ever pray over your soul. There'll never be another verse of invitation. As we mentioned this morning, here's a man. He couldn't find God if he wanted to because it's too late. And what I'm saying is the mistake he made is that he's calling on the wrong person. He was a son of Abraham, but he went to hell because he was not a son of God. Amen. You see, this evening, you got to have more than religion. You got to be saved. Can I get a witness right there? It's going to take more than just good works. Good works will not get you to heaven. For by grace, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, tithing's not going to get you there. Water baptism's not going to get you there. You can have a praying mom and a shouting daddy, or either way you want to look at it, but it will not get you to heaven. And this man makes a mistake. He calls on the wrong person. And then we notice the mercy in this statement as he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You know, there's a lot of people in this life, they don't think they need mercy now, but they're going to need mercy one day. There's a lot of people takes God's name in vain. There's a lot of people rejects God, doesn't respond, won't get saved, won't come to Christ now. But there's coming a day when every sinner is going to cry out for mercy. Every sinner that dies without God is going to want that mercy. Amen. What this rich man says in hell, he made a mistake in calling on the wrong person, but he cried out for mercy. I'm going to tell you, Abraham could not give him mercy. Lazarus could not give him mercy. And sinner, if you die without God and you go to hell, there will be no mercy in hell. There is no mercy in the lake of fire. You may be a church member. Listen, you may be a good person in your own status, but if you've never been washed in the blood, if you've never been saved, listen, there'll be no mercy on the other side. Amen. I like that old song that says, justice called and mercy answered. I should have got justice. Amen. I think about another old song I heard years ago that said, mercy, mercy, God's love and mercy that was shed for you and me. I should have got justice and surely I'd have been lost, but I found mercy when I knelt at the cross, amen, and thank God for mercy, amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad for the mercy of God that kept the judgment of God rolled back so the grace of God could bring salvation. Titus 2 and verse 11 said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation at the appear to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm telling you tonight, there is hope. If you're here and you're lost, you can find mercy at this old-fashioned altar on a Sunday night. You say, preacher, it's Sunday night. Well, people need to get saved on Sunday night just like they need to get saved on Sunday morning. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you don't never know who is sitting here under conviction knowing they're lost and needing mercy tonight. Amen. I find this first statement was comfort for his body. I see the mercy in this statement. I see the man. Look what he said. He said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Now, I think the rich man still saw Lazarus as a beggar, didn't he? He saw him as nothing more than this new in his eternal life as what he saw him in the earthly life. And I'm going to tell you, things have quickly changed. Amen. The rich man has become a beggar, and the beggar has become a millionaire. Amen. A billionaire. He's become rich. I'm telling you, I'd rather be poor in this life and know God as to have all the riches this world had to offer and to die lost and go to hell. Amen. I'm telling you, Lazarus isn't coming to his rescue. Abraham's not coming to his rescue. Hear me, sinner. If you die without God, nobody will come to your rescue in hell. Amen. I see the man and I see the motive. What is it? He's asking for a drop of water that he may dip the tip of his finger, just the tip of it, in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You know, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you die without God and go to hell, it's hard to believe. We would think to ourselves, what could a drop of water do for anybody? Could not quench a thirst. Could not bring relief to the body. But here's a man that is so desperate in hell that if he could just find a millimeter of relief, he is looking for just any little bit of relief. You know, if you're lost tonight and you die without God, there's no relief. Every fiber of your being and your body will suffer in hell. You say, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to warn you. But if I could scare you, I'd scare you in a heartbeat. Amen. You ought to be scared if you're not saved tonight. That's the problem with a lot of people. They don't fear God. They don't fear death. They don't fear hell. We've not heard enough preaching on it. Amen. That's why I want to just keep beating this drum and keep hammering on hell. Amen. I'm telling you, we need more preaching on hell than we've ever needed, because more people's going there. I'm telling you, if you go to hell, your body's going to feel the pain of hell. Hell's not a fairy tale. It's not something figment of our imagination. I'm telling you, hell is a reality tonight. For many in this world who are living their last day on earth today, they will never see another sunrise. The sun is going to set here in just a little while. And for many in this world, they're living their last day. They're going to this place that I'm preaching about before the sun rises in the morning. And that ought to be a sobering reality to all of us tonight. People like comfort in life, don't they? They like recliners. They like air conditioning. They like padded everything. They like push button everything. They like the convenience, the comfort that life has to offer. We in America know more about comfort than any generation or nationality of people that's living on earth. In 2025, we know more comfort. In fact, we know so much comfort in this life that if things get the least bit uncomfortable, we don't hardly know how to deal with it anymore, because we've lived in comfort for so long and so much. But I'm here to tell you tonight, sinner, if you go to hell without God, there'll not be 1 ounce, there'll not be 1 second in eternity, there'll not be 1 millisecond in eternity where you'll ever be able to find comfort. That ought to be enough to get you out of your seat right now and get you to an old-fashioned altar. I'm talking about the motive is that he was looking for something. The misery, look at this. He said, for I am tormented in this flame. I'm telling you, he says it over and over again. The torments of hell. And the Bible said he lifted his eyes in hell being in torments. He saw the torments of hell. He felt the torments of hell. The first statement of what he said had to do with comfort for his body. Hear me, sinner, tonight. You need to fear the flames of hell. You need to fear the darkness of hell. You need to fear the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. You see, people think they're big and they think they're bold and they think they can stand tall in this life. But 2 seconds into hell, I'm telling you, they're screaming to the top of their lungs. They're crying out to God for mercy. Only problem is there's no hope when you go to hell. His first statement was comfort for his body. His second statement was concern for his brethren. talking about what the rich man said in hell. Look at what he says. Abraham talks to him in verse 25 and 26. Tells him that Lazarus is comforted and he is tormented. Tells him in verse 26, there's a great gulf between us and you. You can't pass over this way. We can't come to where you are. We're separated for time and eternity. Now the rich man, we see his words again in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, his first statement was comfort for his body. His second statement was concern for his brethren. What about a man that's lost, that's got concern for his brethren? Amen. If you look at verse number 28 there, he knew of their number. He said, for I have five brethren. Amen. He counted every one of them. What that means is every one of them, he cared for their soul individually. He did not want one of them to come to hell. I'm telling you, anybody, if we could resurrect anybody from hell tonight, if they had anything to say to this congregation, it would be, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. You don't want to go to hell, is what they would say tonight. They would say, junk your pride, junk your religion, junk your arrogancy, junk your ego. They'd say, it's not worth it, it's not worth it, it's not worth it tonight. Amen. Hey, sinful pleasures is not worth going to hell. Alcohol is not worth going to hell. Fornication, adultery is not worth going to hell over. He knew their number. He said, I've got five brethren. I read that last night and I thought to myself, how many family members do I have tonight that are not saved? I started counting them. That I know tonight they're not saved. And then I thought about how many family members do I got that says they're saved. But I'll tell you, if they're saved, I've got 10 acres on Mars that I'll sell you for dirt cheap. You say, isn't that being judgmental looking at them? No. Here's a lost man that looked at his five brethren and said, they're coming to the same place I'm going to. But yet there's people in church, and you can't judge people. I'm going to tell you, a spiritual man judgeth all things. I'm not being judgmental, but I'm telling you, when people tell me they're saved and they've been leaning toward hell all their life, I don't think they're going to heaven. Amen? I don't believe that lines up with the Bible. Even Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Amen? And the Bible said, by their fruits you shall know them. Amen? I don't go around doubting everybody's salvation, but I'm telling you, a man sitting there holding a Budweiser in his hand, and I've had it happen before, and tell me he's right with God. I don't know where to believe that. He ain't no more right with God than a billy goat. Somebody said, amen. I'm telling you tonight, listen, there's a lot of people, they're not saved, they've been deceived. Amen. I'm telling you, their life's going one way and their words are going another. And I'm telling you, when you get saved, it makes a difference. Amen. He had a concern for his brethren, and we ought to be concerned tonight for souls as well. He knew their number. He knew their need. Look what he said here. He said, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He knew their nature. He knew that his five brethren needed somebody to go testify to them. You know, tonight, think about it. If you have a family member that's lost, they need somebody to go testify to them. They need somebody to make a phone call, somebody to go by their house and make a visit. Tonight, if there's anything that the local church needs in 2025, if there's any of one of the many things that the local church needs in 2025, you know what it is? It's a burden for souls. We need a burden for souls. We don't need, and I'm not saying we are, I'm just preaching right now, because if the shoe fits, wear it, but we don't need to spend our days bickering and fussing and arguing over silly little old things that we're going to be embarrassed about at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm telling you, souls are dying. People are going to hell. And I'll tell you, this thing is real. God's not interested in what color the carpet is. He's not interested in what them chandeliers look like. He doesn't, listen, I believe the house of God, you know that, and I know you believe this way, the house of God ought to look good. But I'm telling you, God's not interested in our fellowships and our functions and everything else that's going on. There's nothing wrong with having that stuff in its place. But I'll tell you what God is interested in. He's interested in pulling people out from the burning. He's interested in passing them tracts out. He's interested in knocking on doors. He's interested in us giving the gospel at work and down at the schoolhouse and in our neighborhood. He's interested in us putting people in our cars and bringing them to church. He's interested in, he's not interested in a preacher getting up and preaching some, you know, 17-step process on how to have a better life, or every Friday, every Monday's a Friday. He's not interested in all that garbage. I'll tell you what he's interested in us throwing out the lifeline to some sinner. I'm telling you, sinner, tonight, you hear me? God loves you enough on a Sunday night to let send a message by about hell, because he doesn't want you to go there. Amen. Say, Brother Gravely, you don't even know me. I may not know you, but I'll tell you who wants to know you tonight, and that's Jesus. You know, you don't have to leave this church tonight, go home and pillow your head, and not know where you're going to go when you die. The Lord will save you if you'll come. And I'm going to tell you how I know God wants to save somebody today. I'm going to tell you how I know that. Because last night, this morning, the Holy Spirit told me last night and this morning, you're going to preach on hell all day tomorrow. I don't think God does that just for chance or accident. I know tonight that we are living in the Saturday evening of time. And we're closer now than we've ever been to Jesus coming. And I really believe that God is doing it. He's throwing out the lifeline to try to get people in before the door shuts. You know, tonight I wouldn't trust religion. I wouldn't trust myself. I wouldn't, if I didn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt I was saved, I'd get saved tonight. His first statement was comfort for his body. His second statement was concern for his brethren. Saved people, we need a burden tonight. We need God to put some tears back in our eyes for people going to hell. Burdens have to be born, don't they? Before I move on to this last statement, I would say this to myself and everybody in this room that's saved tonight. You know how you get a burden for people? You just keep going after them. You just keep going after them. You know, your eye affects your heart tonight. I thought about a man that went and visited a man over and over and over again. That man, and I went with him several times. But that man visited that man faithfully. I don't think the man ever got saved. But sometimes he would say, let's go visit so-and-so. And can I be honest with you? I didn't want to go visit him all the time, because I knew it was getting on the man's nerves. But I couldn't tell that man no, Brother Laddie, because I knew he had a real burden for him. And sometimes I'd want to say, well, let's wait another week or two. But he wouldn't. Every single week, he paid that man a visit. Now, that man wasn't always kind. But I'll tell you, if I ever saw a man carry a burden for a sinner, it was that man right there. What I'm telling you, that man used to be a member of this church. He's in heaven this morning or tonight. What I'm telling you is, we got to have a burden for somebody. Too many of God's people are burdened down. But when we get a burden for people, amen, we get a burden for other souls. Maybe you got a brother tonight that's lost. Maybe you got a sister tonight that's lost. Maybe it's your mother, your dad. Do you know somebody tonight? Maybe you're working with somebody that's lost and they don't know God. You just get a burden for somebody. Maybe it's your next door neighbor tonight. I tell you, if God would give you a burden for somebody, it would make a difference in their heart. His second statement was concern for his brethren. His first statement was comfort for his body. And then his third statement, what he said in hell, was contradictory to the Bible. Notice what he said in verse number, well, let's look at what Abraham said in verse 29. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. That's the Old Testament, isn't it? Moses, the Pentateuch, and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And look at verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That's not true tonight. Because Jesus rose from the dead, and there was people that did not repent. Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. What do they have? I'll tell you what they have. He said they have the message. They have the word of God. Faith cometh by what? hearing by the word of God. They have the word of God. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they hear not the word of God, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Why? Because if you won't believe God's word, then listen, you won't believe anything. Amen. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to trust the word of God. We find here that he said, nay, Father Abraham. He had a different theology, but what he says was contradictory to the Bible. He said, if one went to from the dead, they will repent. You see, here's the problem with a rich man. He himself would never take God at his word. He himself would never believe the word of God. That's what unbelief is. It's choosing not to respond, not to obey, not to believe what God said. Isaiah said they've not all obeyed the gospel. I'm telling you how you get saved is you do what God says. Jesus stopped at Zacchaeus' tree and he looked up and he said, make haste and come down. He made haste and came down and he got saved. Amen. When you obey the word of God, that's how you get in, friend. It's you act upon what God said. But here's a man that wanted to bypass the Bible. He wanted to bypass the word. He wanted some special miracle. He wanted some resurrection to cause them to repent. Salvation is just one way tonight. You either get in God's way or you don't get in. Well, I'm going to go to heaven, preacher, because this, this, and this. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, you're not going to heaven. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. They go to hell just like drunkards. Well, I play an instrument in church. People go to hell from platforms of churches. I sing in the choir. I do a lot of good things in the church. Doesn't matter. None of it's salvation tonight. You must be born again. What good is repentance without faith in the word of God? Catholics repent, but they don't get saved because their faith is in their penance. Their faith is in a man. Their faith is in a religion. I'm telling you tonight, it's got to come down to you and God. Amen. You got to see yourself a sinner. You got to see yourself lost. You got to see yourself in need of a Savior. The Holy Spirit has to turn the light on. He has to show you your need for Christ. If he turns the light on and you know you're not saved, then you ought to come tonight. My son-in-law and me was talking this afternoon, and we was talking about somebody that he was burdened for that was struggling with their salvation. I don't like to see people struggle. In fact, somebody came up to me after church today struggling. I believe they're saved. I told them I believe they're saved. I said, you're going to have to get in your Bible and read your Bible. You have to come faithfully to church. Is that right? And I said, I know you love the Lord. I believe they love God. I said, but when you miss church and you don't read your Bible, and then you come to church and you hear the preacher get up and preach a strong message on hell and there's conviction, that devil climbs up on your shoulder and starts playing with your mind. I said, I'll tell you how to know when it's the devil and not God. It's always confusion when it's the devil. Well, what if you didn't do this? Or what if you didn't do that? Or what if you didn't say this? Or what if you didn't say that? Well, what if you didn't mean it? Or what if you don't remember it? God don't work that way. That still small voice will just speak to you and say, you need to get saved. You know, five people raised their hand this morning that's lost. And none of them, as far as I know, was confused, with the exception of just one person. When the Holy Ghost deals with you and tells you, if he's speaking to you right now telling you're lost, there's no confusion about that. You'll know. When my wife got saved, she knew. She knew she was lost. And she had been asking God to show her if she was saved or lost. And I'm telling you, on the second pew at the Tilton Baptist Church, with a baby in each arm, she saw herself. And you know what? I remember, I don't know if you remember this, you probably do. I remember the Sunday before that Sunday, the pastor preached on the assurance of salvation. Do you remember that? And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, God is going to give her assurance. And she didn't no more have assurance than nothing.
And that was a great message. And the next Sunday, I was oblivious to anything. Did not see it coming whatsoever. But I don't remember what the, oh, I remember what the preacher preached on. He preached on the heart of the matter is the matter of your heart. Just a good Bible message. Amen. And he got, and I'm telling you, when the invitation, well, I mean, one baby went this way, one baby went that way, and she came to the altar and she got born again. Amen. Went to a Christian school, read through the Bible every year, family altar, around the coffee table. And I'm telling you, all that's not going to get you to heaven, friend. You got to be saved. And the Holy Ghost is the only one who put that in your heart tonight. This is what I was telling my son-in-law. We were talking this afternoon. I said, you know what the Lord has really. I said, you've been preaching on faith on Wednesday nights. I said, and God has put it in my heart to preach the most simplest, and all my preaching's simple. In fact, somebody told me that the other day. They said, you're one of the most simplest preachers. I said, well, thank you, I think. But all my sermons are simple. But God's put it in my heart to preach on purpose the most simplest sermons on salvation. Because I think people need it. I think people in our pews need it more than ever. I don't know if there's anybody here lost tonight. But I feel like there is. And I don't want to go on feelings. But I mean that because I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me about preaching on hell all day today. I can't do anything to get you down here, but I'm just telling you, if you're lost tonight, you'll know it. And if you know it, why would you not get saved? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? If not tonight, when? When are you going to get saved? What is it keeping you from getting born again? If you was to die tonight and go to hell, and in hell, as the flames engulf your body, if you could think about that one thing that would keep you from coming to the altar and getting saved tonight, ask yourself, would it be worth it? Would it be worth it tonight to hold on?